his love for me that nailed him to a tree to die in agony for all my sin, for my own guilt and blame, the great Redeemer came, willing to bear the shame of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. To Calvary's hill one day, the Lord was led away. None else the price could pay for all my sin. He on the cross was slain, yielding his life in pain. He felt the bitter stain of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me. Was ever love so strong? Was ever crime so wrong? When Jesus suffered long for all my sin, He saw my greatest need, became my friend indeed. Through Him I have been freed of all my sin. Oh, what a Savior is mine! In Him God's mercies combine. His love can never decline, and He loves me.
Amen. Thank God He does, and He loves you. Isn't that good? That's wonderful. Thank you, Brother Scott. All right, Acts 16, if you can find that part of the Bible, Acts chapter 16, you're getting familiar to your book. You go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, go to your right. You'll come to the book of Acts chapter 16. While you're finding your place, I remind you that this afternoon there'll be some reconfiguration of this section of pews over here. Taking out a couple of longer pews, moving the short one back to make room for more orchestra, people in the orchestra, and they'll be doing that this afternoon. If you're around this afternoon, you're not in one of the Sunday school classes or one of the ministries, I'm sure they wouldn't mind a little help if you're around this afternoon and available. And then listen, don't miss tonight at 6 o'clock. You know, Brad and Trent just got back from their mission trip over to Cambodia, and there will be a video and some pictures tonight in the 6 o'clock service, so don't miss that. We'll be anxious to see, hear from the trip that they made to Cambodia. If you're able to stand this morning, please join me, okay? And I'm going to read God's Word beginning with verse number 6, and here's what the Scripture says. Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. And I'm glad when those countries are all done, all right? But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. I want to speak on the subject of Macedonia. Macedonia, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, God, for the wonderful songs we've enjoyed singing and listening to. Resplendent in your glory, and the fact that you would love us enough to leave heaven and come to this earth, and as we just heard, bear our sins in your own body to the cross, to die for us, to make salvation available. What a wondrous thing that is. Jesus saves. And thank you for your love for us, proven on Calvary's cross. Help me this morning fill both speaker and listener with your Spirit. May the Word of God have its way in our hearts today through the power of God's Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over time, God has placed his hand on certain nations, countries of the world, and used them for a particular plan and purpose. And no doubt that he placed his hand on the USA, I believe, with all my heart. And he used this nation according to his plan and purpose for a number of years. And it's sad to see our country depart from being used of God. But anyway, God has done that through time. It's without a doubt that God used the nation of Egypt for his plan and his purpose more than once, and not really always for a good reason. Of course, the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation. The nation of Israel is still God's chosen nation. And have to remember that according to the Bible. God used Babylon. He used Assyria and other nations to a lesser degree in the judgment of his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. The book of Jude tells us that God made an example out of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, made an example out of them. The Bible tells us that Jesus condemned the cities of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida because of their lack of repentance. Nazareth missed the mighty works of Jesus because of their unbelief. And I could go on and on, naming places that are found in God's word, and God used those places or referred to those places sometimes in his plan and purpose. And remember, people, nothing in the Bible is there by accident. Nothing is there just by happen chance. That's not the way it works. And so when you find places being mentioned over and over again, you don't want to overlook that. Macedonia is mentioned in our text three different times in verses 6 through 12. And it's mentioned in several other New Testament scriptures. It was a nation. Macedonia was a nation that God used for his plan and his purpose in many ways. Now, in today's world, Macedonia would be where northern Greece is. Okay, so Macedonia in Bible times was located where northern Greece is today. Back then, it was a Roman province ruled by what they called proconsul. The first mention of Macedonia in the Bible is in the text we read just a moment ago. And so we're going to look into God's plan and purpose for Macedonia for a few messages here this summer and see what we can learn from Scripture. This first message is kind of introductory. It's really just very basic. But I want to point out a few things that we can learn from this story. Let me just tell you the first one right now. The first lesson we learn is doing good is not a substitute for doing God's will. Doing good is not a substitute for doing God's will. Now look at verse number 6 and 7 here, okay? Because in 6 and 7, what we've got is you got Paul on a second missionary journey. So they left Antioch and they've gone on a journey, okay, to give the gospel to people. They are heading in a northwestward direction. As they're on their way through all these countries that are listed here, you can see where the Bible says in verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So Paul wanted to go to Asia, and the Spirit of God said no. And then you get to verse number 7, and the Bible says that they essayed, they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So on the second missionary journey, not once, but twice, God's Spirit comes to the Apostle Paul and he says, no, I don't want you to go that direction. Now, the reason Paul wanted to go to those places was a good reason. The Bible tells us in verse 6 that he wanted to go to Asia to preach the word. He wanted to preach the word. Paul wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia to preach the gospel. Now, church, isn't preaching the gospel a good thing? Sure it is. In fact, we're told to take the gospel to the world. So what Paul was doing was seemingly a good thing, taking the gospel to Asia, taking the gospel to Bithynia. But understand that doing good things does not always mean we are doing God's will. And God came to Paul and said, no, you're not going up to Asia. No, you're not going to Bithynia. The good thing, people, the best thing is always to do the will of God. Because doing just good is not a substitute for doing God's will. It might be good to plan a family outing, to spend time with each other and enjoy the family relationship. And people do that during the summertime. We've got folks out of services today who are on vacation. But look, to enjoy an outing on Sunday morning instead of attending a service at church takes a family out of the will of God. And I say that because this is vacation season. And families travel. That's a good thing. I've told a lot of men over the years, younger men starting out with family, that one of the things that I'm glad we did when my kids were at home, one of the things I'm glad we did, the church always allowed us to, was take a family vacation. I think family vacations are healthy. I think they provide a lot of wonderful opportunities. But a family traveling on family vacation does not change the fact that Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day, whether I'm on vacation or at home. And God expects us to be in a Bible-believing church to worship Him along with other people. You know, being in another state does not turn Sunday into Friday. That doesn't happen. And Sunday is the Lord's day. And so you could do a good thing by going on a family vacation, but if you don't make sure you go to church somewhere to be in the service, you'll be out of God's will, and you don't want to do that. There's a weak amen, but that's the honest truth. You don't hear that preached a lot, but that's okay. That's okay. Doing good is not a substitute for doing God's will. And God's will on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a church service. Giving to help those who have gone through difficult circumstances by way of some natural disaster. Helping people who were hit by hurricanes or tornadoes or flooding. That may be a good thing. We've done that over the years. We've sent a lot of gifts to churches that are in areas where there were tornadoes. And remember Katrina? Floods and all that stuff, you know, we've tried to help churches and people like that. But I want to say this, to take God's tithe, to do that, helping people in natural disaster that's not God's will. God has dedicated the tithe to go to the storehouse. He's dedicated the tithe to go to the local church. And God does not give us the liberty to decide where we will send our tithe. It may be a good thing to help people who've suffered through natural disasters. It might be a good thing, but don't help them with God's tithe. Because the will of God for the tithe is the local church. Giving to missions is a good thing. We'll hear about the missions trip tonight. And Ben and them had their opening service today in their new building there in Madagascar. It was incredible. And I don't want to show pictures of it tonight. I'm kind of maybe leaving it when he gets here. But they had a great day. Surprised them, shocked them, really. A great day. Giving to missions is a good thing because it helps to send the gospel to places where the gospel may not have had much exposure. But listen, folks, thinking that giving to missions substitutes for my responsibility to witness personally is not God's will. That doesn't work God's will. In fact, it's neglecting my main responsibility. My main responsibility is to be a personal witness, a personal witness. Get the gospel to somebody. You know, if you give your child, if you got a child at home or several children, and you meet with them, maybe dad, you meet with them at the beginning of a day, and you say, look, dad's going to be gone today, got business all day long, be at the job, and here's what I need to do. I need you to make sure that those bushes that make up that hedge back there, I need you to make sure that those bushes all get trimmed. Don't just make sure they get trimmed today. That's got to be the thing. That's it. And so dad goes to work. Well, have you ever trimmed bushes? You ever trimmed a hedge? It's not the most fun thing to do in the world. And so the boys don't want to trim the hedge, but they don't mind, watering the garden and, deadheading the rose bushes and sweeping the garage and picking up branches and sticks that have fallen down from the trees. And so they get busy. They do all those things all day long. Dad pulls in the driveway at the end of the day, jumps out of his car, and the hedges aren't trimmed. And he calls him and says, boys, Dad, look at this road. Look at these rose bushes. Look at the garden is all water. Look at the yard is free of sticks and debris that fell with the last storm. And I can hear Dad saying, yeah, that's good, but how about the hedge? The hedge never got trimmed. And truth of the matter is, folks, we can do a lot of good things. You know, when it comes to the gospel, people are very generous when it comes to sending the gospel around the world. And amen to that. But we can't substitute doing the good thing of sending the gospel around the world for being a personal witness. Because being a personal witness is God's will for us. Be careful that we don't substitute doing good things for doing God's will. You know what Paul did? Paul put his will aside so he could do God's will. Even though Paul's will seemed like it was a good thing, take the gospel to Asia, take the gospel to Bithynia, seemed like a good thing to do, but he set that will aside when he found out that God said no, because doing something good is never a substitute for doing God's will. Now, number two, I want you to see in this passage, when you are not sure what the next step is, keep doing what you have been doing. When you're not sure what the next step is, keep doing what you've been doing. Look at verse number 8. So they're going in a northwestern direction. God says no to Asia. He says no to Bithynia. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. You say, what's so important about that? Troas is west of Mysia. So they are going in the direction they had been going. So when God said no, hey, guess what? Paul did not take his ball and go home. You ever play ball with somebody like that when you were kids? And if it wasn't done their way, if it wasn't done exactly how they wanted it done, they grabbed their bat and their glove and their ball and they went home. That's called being immature, being a baby. Well, Paul wanted to go to Asia. Paul wanted to go to Bithynia. But God said, no, he'd been going northwestward, so he kept going in that same direction. He just stayed in the game, and he kept plugging along even after God didn't give him the liberty to go where he wanted to go. And when you are not sure what the next step, everybody comes to places in life where they're not sure what the next step is. Everybody. What do you do when that happens? You keep doing what you know God wants you to do. You keep doing what you've been doing. You fellas, when you hit the wall at your job and you're wondering what's next when it comes to your vocation, when you hit the wall, just keep working hard at what you're doing. You know, I'm sure that almost every man in this room hits a wall sometime or another in his work. It just seems that you have reached the end. And you're not sure what's next. Look, the end may be coming. You might have a change of vocation, but don't finish before you reach the end. Does that make sense? Finish working. Finish the job. Finish work. You say, Pastor, you talked to us last week about working. You're on the subject of working again this week. I know, because non-working is an epidemic right now in our country. An epidemic. It hasn't been corrected. It's not been righted, and people don't have enough workers, and supply chains are still running slow. And a lot of times it's because we don't have this, we don't have the workers to do this, don't have the workers to do that. Every man will no doubt hit the wall at some point in their vocation, but fellas, don't finish until you're finished. Keep doing what you know is right to do. You know, when God was working on my heart to move us from Washington, Iowa to Bourbonnais, we didn't know we were coming to Bourbonnais, and we were, you know, thinking about this church and that. We had preached in this church and that church, and some churches gave us a call to come pastor, and then sometimes Brother Brown just didn't have a lot of peace about it, and so I didn't have peace about it, and, you know, there were a lot of disappointments, and I went to a church up in Michigan, north of Pontiac, Michigan. And I preached up there on a Sunday morning. In fact, we were down visiting Dad and Mom in Atlanta at the time. And we left the kids with Dad and Mom and flew up on Saturday morning, met with the men Saturday afternoon, preached all day Sunday, flew back to Atlanta on Monday. I'm in the process of trying to find out the will of God for my next step in ministry. And I called Brother Brown when I got home Monday, got to the folks there Monday, just to ask him how the weekend went. He said, oh, it was terrible. The buses were horrible. The buses, they were terrible. The buses, they couldn't be any worse. He went on and on and on. Well, I'm in charge of the bus ministry. And he just goes on and on and on about how terrible the buses are. And I'm thinking, man, what in the world? So I hung up talking to him, and I told Joyce, I said, look, we drove, of course. I said, we're going to pack up early. And instead of leaving on Friday, we're going to leave on Thursday. We're going to get back on Friday. And Saturday, I'm going to call BJ up in Williamsburg, and we're gonna start a new bus route. And that's what I called BJ, and I said, can you meet me in Williamsburg? And we started a new bus route. In fact, it was the first Spanish group of people that we picked up from a camp. And that was the start of the Spanish ministry that was at Marion Avenue Baptist Church. Has been there since. That was the start of it. And I just determined, you know what? If Pastor Brown's not happy with the bus ministry, then that's on me. And I'm not gonna leave here with him unhappy about something that I'm in charge of. Are you with me this morning? Responsible. I'm not gonna do that. Now, when I got back and started talking to the bus captains about why it was such a bad day, they said, Brother Terry, it poured last Sunday. It poured. The whole time we were out with the buses picking up, it was just pouring rain. Brother Brown conveniently forgot to tell me about that, amen. But anyway, that's all right. That's okay. I'm just saying, look, fellas, when you hit the wall in your vocation and you're not sure what's next and you're not sure what to do, the right thing to do is just do what you've been doing. Amen. Does that make sense? That makes sense. Work hard. You know what? You young adults that seek God's next step for your life, do not stop doing what you are doing now. You know, you may not know what the next step in your life is, your young adulthood, okay? And you, what do? You keep honoring your dad and mom. You keep being a good influence on your younger siblings. You keep serving in your place at church. You don't stop on your journey because something you planned has not worked out the way you thought it should. You don't just stop. Because here's what, the devil is going to fill your heart with thoughts like God doesn't care and he has no plan for you and you've missed the boat, so you better go find another boat as soon as possible. Those kind of thoughts are satanic in nature because they're not true. And they're designed to discourage you and fill you with doubt about God and his will for your life. Young adult, when it doesn't happen like you thought it would happen, when it doesn't turn out exactly like you thought it was going to turn out, you don't stop doing what you're doing. Don't change your direction. Don't change your direction. You know, I've illustrated before. If you might think that you change just a subtle change. But if this is the line, if I'm walking a straight line that's perpendicular to this line, okay, so I want to be at 90 degrees, right? You know, if I go 2 degrees to my left, to your right, I'm at 88 degrees now instead of 90. Most of you probably couldn't even detect that. Right? You couldn't even pick up that I'd turned 2 degrees to my left. But if we start walking about 5 miles... it's going to show up real quick, and I'm going to get offline. And you young adults, you know, I have seen this happen, not just here but other places. I've seen young adults face some disappointments because things in life did not happen like they thought they would. Well, I got to find another direction. Don't you The safe thing to do, keep going the direction you've always gone. Don't change direction. You'll get off course and you'll end up way out of God's will for your life. How about husbands and wives in the room this morning? Your marriage has been disappointing. That happens. That happens. Your dreams of married bliss have turned into nightmares of married bondage. That's sad. Your idea of how it would be is not how it has been. What do? You don't quit. You don't give up on your marriage. You keep doing what you know God wants you to do. It could be that God will smile on your obedience and work in your marriage in ways that surprise you. Do not allow confusion or discouragement or disappointment to keep you from doing God's will. Look, when you're not sure what to do next, the very safest thing is just to keep doing what you've, if you've been doing right, keep doing right. Even you kids, even kids. I'm talking about teenagers and elementary kids. There are times when young people, I'm talking about teenage young people and elementary young people, they suffer because of the choices of others. You know what I call that? Secondary suffering. It's not their fault. Some young people go through circumstances that have nothing to do with their own personal choices. Nothing. Nothing to do with their own personal choices at all. But young person, if that's you, if you're going through something right now, teenage young friend or even elementary kid listening in this, if you're going through something right now that is not the result of your own personal choice, you still have a couple of choices. You can get mad at God and blame him and others for the pain and the hurt. And you know what happens? You become a bitter, angry young person. That's a shame. Becoming bitter and angry at any age is not healthy. But young people especially, teenagers and elementary school kids that have gotten angry and bitter at God, at somebody else, and some, it's the result of pain and suffering that wasn't their choice. Wasn't their choice. That's say what you want. Some of you adults, folks that are now old and older adults, you grew up with that. You grew up with that as teenagers. You grew up with that as kids. You were the secondary sufferer, okay? And you got a choice. You can either choose to get mad at God, be angry at him. Why is it this way? And you'll get bitter and you'll get hangry. And you know what the Bible teaches us about bitterness? You know who suffers? We do. We suffer with bitterness. Bitterness takes it out on us. You got to be, now you can do that, or you can just trust God. Trust God to be your help. Trust God to be your comfort. Crawl under the care of his sheltering arms. Talk to God. Tell him your pain and your hurt, because God hears the prayers of young people. If you're newly saved and you're carrying a burden, you know, and still carrying a burden of when things you did when you were lost, you have a heavenly Father now. You can crawl up under his wings. You can talk to him. You can call upon him. He'll hear your prayer. Ishmael was not God's choice for the promised seed, was he? No. But you know what? When Sarah had Abraham boot him out of the camp, and he and his mother went out in the wilderness, you know whose voice God heard? Ishmael's. I've heard the voice of the lad. What a blessing that God hears the prayers of children whose hearts are broken, and young adults and teenagers whose hearts are broken because of sometimes things that you didn't have any choice in the matter. Hey, you've got a heavenly Father. Listen, when things do not turn out like you think they should, do not stop doing right. Keep going the same direction through your disappointment. That's what Paul did here. So doing good is not a substitute for doing God's will. And when you're not sure what the next step is, keep doing what you've been doing. Number three, and I'll be finished. God is looking for those who are looking for him. I love that, don't you? You see that in verses 10 and 11. You got to know the whole story, okay? So Paul, you can't go to Bithynia. Paul, you can't go to Asia. Okay, Lord, that's fine. I'm going to keep my glove, my bat, my ball. I'm staying in the game through my disappointment. I'm going to keep going the way that I've been going. And then God comes to Paul by a vision in the night. And here's this man from Macedonia. And he says, come over into Macedonia and help us. Why Macedonia? Why Macedonia? Why not Asia? Why not Bithynia? And why Macedonia? Because the Bible tells us, folks, that in the city of Philippi, which was located in Macedonia, there was a certain woman by the name of Lydia. Well, say, what's so unique about Lydia? Well, she was from Thyatira. She was in the fabric business in Philippi. She was known for her purple fabric. That's what Thyatira was known for. They were known for a purple dye. And she was a seller of purple fabric. And she had settled in Macedonia in the city of Philippi from Thyatira, which was located in Asia Minor. That's not all that was unique about Lydia. Not only was she in the fabric business, you know what she did? The Bible tells us in verse 14 that she worshiped God. Lydia was a Gentile who had turned her back on the false idols of the Gentiles, and she was seeking truth. Because you know what happens, folks? Folks in the world, they give themselves to all that the world, the glitter and the glamour of the world, and they find out that, you know what? What I'm looking for, they don't have. And they start looking for truth. They start searching for truth. And that's what she had done. She was down by the riverside where the Jews met for prayer. And on the first Sabbath day that Paul was in Philippi, that's where he went to preach the gospel. So that's just a coincidence, right? That just happens by accident that Paul just somehow ends up in Philippi, and he ends up down at the riverside where Lydia is. She's already seeking for truth. She wants to know the God of Israel. God, are you is the God of Israel where truth is? And Paul goes down there and he preaches to her the gospel. How do we know that? Because that's what Paul did. He preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God opened Lydia's heart. And Lydia responded by receiving the Lord Jesus as her Savior. Friend, that was not by accident. All of that was arranged by the grace of God, sending Paul to where Lydia was because Lydia was seeking truth. Religious people need Jesus. Did you know that? Religion is not the answer to your soul's deep need. Jesus is the answer. Whether you are religious or not, if you've never been born again by trusting in Christ, come to Jesus and be saved. I didn't know what the opening song was today. There it is. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If your heart has been longing for an answer to the trouble in your soul, you may not know it, but you are seeking for Christ. That's who you're seeking for. That's that longing. And you know what God is looking for? God is looking for those who are looking for him. And if you're looking for him, he's going to get the gospel to you. Going to get it to you. This is not the only place where this happens. Cornelius was a devout religious man. Listen to that in Acts 10. A devout religious man who feared God and was liberal with his money and prayed many prayers. But guess what? He was lost. Whoa! A devout man praying many prayers and giving money away and all these things? Yeah, he's lost. And because Cornelius was seeking for God, looking for God, God sent Peter to Cornelius to tell Cornelius how to be saved. Here's this eunuch from Ethiopia. He goes to Jerusalem to worship God. He's looking for God. He even had a copy of the manuscript of Isaiah, and he was reading it. He was searching for truth about God, but he needed help understanding. And because he was looking for God, God sent Philip from a citywide revival meeting to intercept that chariot. And he climbed up in that eunuch's chariot and he preached Christ. Amen. And the eunuch got saved. Someone is looking for God in our area. Somebody's looking for God. Someone is searching. Someone is trying to figure out what the Bible is all about. Someone's heart is aching. Someone is needing help. Someone is broken. Someone is torn up over things that have happened, and they're looking for truth, and God sees that person and sees their heart. Maybe they tried drugs and they found out the answer is not in drugs. Maybe they tried alcohol. They found out the answer is not in alcohol. The answer is not here. The answer is not there. Where's the answer? The answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it is. You know what God does? God sends a soul winner. Or God puts a truck in a parking lot with a big sign that says free Bibles. Amen. And somebody driving by. I remember when I was on one of those Bible handouts, we were up here across from Farm and Fleet. And I saw a guy slow down as he passed. He just slowed down a little bit, but then he sped up and whew, and probably about, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 minutes later, I saw the car, same car, come back and pull in the parking lot. And this fellow, James from Moments, was driving. He said, you know, I saw that sign and something. He said, I went on down the road and something told me to come back. And I said, no, it wasn't something, James. It was someone. And James trusted Christ as his Savior that morning. People are looking. People are looking. People are searching. And God will send the answer. God sends the gospel to those who are looking for him. Maybe you're here this morning. You say, you know, I don't even know why I'm here. But the truth is, Pastor Angel, I've been looking. And I've been searching. And I've been trying to figure out the Bible. And my heart is kind of hungry to know the truth. Well, I'll tell you what, you came to a good place. And it's not in Faith Baptist Church. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. And Christ alone. You know what Lydia became? You know what Lydia became? She became the first convert on the European continent. First convert. First convert to Christ on the European continent. Now, many others would be saved as well, including the jailer. And the gospel continued in a westerly direction, going from Philippi to Thessalonica to Berea and down to Athens and Corinth, and eventually over further west, over into Spain, and then eventually up into England and the United Kingdom. And then guess where it went west from there? It crossed the Atlantic Ocean. And it came to the shores of what would become the United States of America. Those pilgrims on the Mayflower, they brought that book with them. Documented. They brought this book. Not this book, but one like it. Okay, it's not that old. They brought the gospel. And now all over the United States of America are Bible preaching churches. Amen. And saved people. And people who are sending money for missions to go around the world. And the gospel is proclaimed. And it all started in Macedonia. With a man who thought it was more important to do God's will than his own. And he didn't quit. And he kept going, giving the gospel. The answer is not in a church. The answer is not in a baptistry. The answer is in Christ. And for whatever reason, God's plan did not include Paul going through Asia or Bithynia. I believe, my opinion, that the gospel had already been taken to those places and had some measure of influence there, because there were some people from those places in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 got saved. And who knows where they all went. The gospel had never been to Macedonia. And God needed for the gospel to go to Macedonia, because there was a businesswoman there and a jailer and their families and others who needed him, who needed salvation. And they heard and they were saved. And here we sit today And it all started in a place called Macedonia. You think doing God's will is important? Very much so. You think not quitting is important when you're disappointed? When you don't have your way? Yeah. Think the gospel still works? I know it does. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word this morning. Thank you, God, for simple, simple truths found in this story, this great story of Macedonia and Paul taking the gospel because there was a lady, Lydia, who was seeking for truth. Lord, I pray that you'll help us as your people to keep witnessing and visiting and taking the gospel by way of word and printed page to as many as we can in this area, because there are still folks looking for you. Please bless us, Lord. Be with this service as we close. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. I wonder who today would say, Brother Terry, Brother Angel, I know for sure that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior, whether it was last week or 35 years ago or more. I know I'm saved because I've trusted Christ. If that's your testimony, can I see your hand in the air? Please, as a testimony of it. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may take your hand down. Is there somebody here would say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I didn't raise my hand just then because I'm not sure where I'll spend eternity. I just am not ready. Don't know. But it does concern me. I'm not sure if I died right now that I would spend eternity in heaven, and that concerns me. Pray for me. Just pray for me that God will help me. Is that you this morning? Would you just slip your hand in the air? Am I speaking to you this morning? You're here without Christ. You don't know for sure if you're on your way to heaven. Just slip your hand in the air. Take it right back down when you're done. And I'll see it and have prayer for you in just a moment. Member, visitor, it doesn't matter. If you're not saved, we want you to be saved. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and never baptized in obedience to Christ. And you know that you need to follow Christ in that way. You can tell one of these men down here. I know we have others to baptize this morning. You could join them or at least talk to them about it if you've never followed Christ in baptism. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll be with anyone here in the auditorium this morning who's not saved. Lord, they're here, which in a way means that they're looking for something. And I pray, oh God, that you'd please speak to that heart. May the Holy Spirit work in only ways that only he can and bring that person to Christ. Draw them in. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We would say, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message about doing my will instead of God's will and just keep going through difficulty when things don't pan out like I think they should. Something along the lines there spoke to my heart, and I needed to hear that this morning. Let me see your hand in the air. Would you do that this morning? God bless you. Amen. Father, you've spoken to hearts. You've spoken to the people. I pray that you'll bless now the invitation in Jesus' name. We're standing together. Our music is beginning, and the altar is open for you to come pray. If you're not saved, come tell one of these men standing down here, hey, I don't know if I'm saved or not. If you've not been baptized, now's the time. Step out and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Join these others. Obey the Lord. If you've been saved, it'd be a wonderful thing to take that next step of obedience.